Okay, if you'd be seated for just a few minutes, we're going to have short Bible study that we call Soldiers of Christ. And by short, we mean less than 25 minutes. So that's a pretty short Bible study, isn't it? But this is what we call Soldiers of Christ. And if you're not familiar with that, we have some cards that we have put together that have various Bible questions on them. We are working through. Started working through the life of Jesus a few weeks ago. Grayson, would you mind taking these? If you don't have a copy of this, if you would just like to see it and be able to follow along tonight, just raise your hand, and Grayson's got a handful of those. He will give those to you. And this is what we do on Sunday nights, is just have a short Bible study, trying to go through and study about the life of Jesus and see some things that we need to understand about his life and be able to apply to our lives. So let me ask you, as we get into this, some very easy questions that you already know the answer to, but this is the whole basis of our lives as Christians and the basis of our Bible study. So what is the theme of the whole Bible? Not yet. That's going to be right here. I'm looking for two words that is the theme of the whole Bible. All right, now we're cooking. All right, you all scared me there for a minute. I was afraid you didn't know what the theme of the Bible was. So the theme of the Bible, this is on the white cards, by the way. The white cards, when you flip that over, the white prophet card, the theme of the Bible is Jesus Christ. Now you were just thinking ahead. The three-sentence summary of the Bible. Someone is coming, someone is here, and someone is coming again. Who is that someone? That's the theme of your Bible. So here we are getting into the New Testament to talk about the life of Jesus and to see what we can learn about his life. So let's see. I'm wondering who. You still got some more of those, Grayson? All right, he's coming, Mary. The four accounts of the gospel, not the four gospels, there's only one gospel, but the four accounts of the gospel. You remember what those are? Matthew, Mark, the other testament there, Eva. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Did you know those, Lucas? Lucas says he knew those. He just stuck a fresh piece of candy in his mouth, but he knew that the four accounts of the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What does the word gospel mean? Good news. Is there good news about Jesus? Yes. Is it like all good news about Jesus? Yes. When we talk about the gospel, that's what we're talking about, is good news. So the four accounts of the gospel tell us about who? That shouldn't be hard. Jesus Christ. So those are on your prophet. If you flip over to the yellow cards, the very first yellow card is your prophet card. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at that. We're only going to look at the prophet card tonight, the yellow prophet card that says Life of Jesus up at the top of it. But I want you to hold that open, and I want you to get your Bibles and go to John chapter 1. All right? I want you to get your Bibles. This is going to be so much more helpful if you'll get your Bibles and go to John chapter 1. And as you look on your prophet card, your yellow prophet card, you will notice that there are key facts on the left-hand side. You will notice that there are key chapters over on the right-hand side, key locations over there, and when you open it up, I think it's when you open it up, there are memory verses. Are the memory verses on the inside? Do you have memory verses on the inside of your yellow prophet card? You know what I'm talking about. Over on the right-hand side, are there some memory verses? There should be a memory verse there for John chapter 1 and verse 1. Do you know this verse? We're gonna zero in on this verse tonight. Do we know this verse? Let's say this verse together, and we're going to start by saying John chapter 1 and verse 1. So let's say this verse. You're going to say it with me. Don't leave me hanging. When I say this together, that means we all say this together, all right? Are we ready to go? We're going to say John chapter 1, verse 1, just to let you know. We're not saying John 1, 1. So we're going to say chapter 1, verse 1. You with me? All right, here we go. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, and the Word was with God. Word. Good job. Y'all can read really, really well. What would happen if I took it off the screen? Could you still say it? Better get your yellow card out and look at your yellow card to know. Now, this is a memory verse. That means it is a good verse for you to commit to memory. Very good. All right. This is a verse. we're going to look at some of these words that are underlined and talk about them to really understand what is this verse saying. Now, when we look at this verse, what is the word "the Word"? What does that mean? If we were to identify, let me make sure I get the right one over here. If we were to identify the Word, why does it start with the Word? That's kind of an interesting, we don't read that in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. Why does it start with the Word? And if we were going to try to figure out who is the Word or what is the Word, just let the Bible explain it. Don't try to, well, I think it's this or I think it's that. Just let the Bible explain it. Drop down to verse 14, and what does verse 14 say? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who's that talking about? Jesus? Talking about Jesus? So the Word in verse 14, who became flesh and dwelt among us, is Jesus Christ. So who's the Word up in verse 1? That's Jesus. It is a way for God to explain who Jesus is for us. But why doesn't he just say Jesus? Why doesn't he say Jesus Christ? Why doesn't he say Son of God? He does that all throughout the book of John. Why does he call him the Word? All right, now, we've allowed the context to identify who the Word is. What if we allowed the context to define why does God call him the Word? Grayson, let me ask you something. Could you know a whole lot, if you and I met, what, 4 years ago? Something like that? All right, so we met 4 years ago, all right? And so that was the first time you had ever seen me. What did you know about me before you ever saw me? You can say nothing. Oh, you knew I was a preacher. How'd you know that? Your dad told me. Can you trust everything? Never mind, don't answer that question. All right, so you met me. You never met me. We've never talked. You didn't know a whole lot about me, did you? So then we met face to face. You could see me. Now you know something else about me, right? I mean, you know I'm so tall, so fat, so ugly, so all of these things. So once you see me, now you can know some things about me. But are you limited in what you know about me just by seeing me? Sure. All right, now let me ask this question. Can we know there is a God just by looking? Can we know there is a God? Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 says you can absolutely know there is a God just by looking. But can you know everything there is to know about that God? Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 says you can know His eternal power and His Godhead. But Grayson, what would help you to know me better instead of just looking at me? Would it help if I spoke some words? Just a lot. I mean, a few hours of words. Would that help you to learn me a little bit more? Words. A word is something that reveals something to someone else. Do we know something more about God when we open up the Bible? Can we understand from the Word? Now, let's let the context define this. Go down to verse 18. Go down to John chapter 1 and verse 18. Look at the end of verse 18. And what did Jesus come to do? The last expression at the end of verse 18. What did Jesus come to do? Okay, are you with me? This is an open book test, all right? The end of verse 18, Jesus came to, depending on what translation you have, He came to declare or to make known the Father. Think about that. Jesus came to declare. He came to make known. What did He use? W-O-R-D-S's. What did Jesus use? What did He use to declare and make known the Father? Words. What is Jesus? He is the Word. He is the eternal living Word. So let the context explain. Sometimes we read that and we think, what is that? What is the Word? Jesus was the revelation of the deity and the will of God. We did not know the full will of God without the Word coming, without Jesus coming into this world. And so it's an interesting way for God to explain that to us. And there's other passages we could look at, and I wish we had time to look at all of these verses. We just don't have time to do it, but you might look at them. Hebrews chapter 1 is great. Hebrews chapter 1 says, God, who in various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. Oh, you know that verse. So in time past, the Bible says God spoke through the prophets. But verse 2 says he has in these last days spoken what? What did he speak? Words. Spoken unto us by his Son. Jesus is the Word. He revealed the will of God to us. Now, some other word that we need to identify in this verse. What is the beginning? This verse begins in an interesting fashion. This verse begins by talking about the beginning. Now, here's what I want to do. In this verse, it begins by saying, in the beginning was the Word. And who have we defined, who have we allowed the Bible to define the Word to be? I forgot to tape this up here. All right, we've got Jesus as the Word. If I can get this tape to not stick to itself. Don't you hate it when tape sticks to itself? You're trying to wrap a Christmas present and this tape just sticks to itself. All right, here we go. All right, so the Word is Jesus. Now, in this verse, in the beginning was the Word. What's the beginning? Do you know another verse that begins in the beginning? Do you know another book that begins in the beginning? Oh, Genesis 1:1. What's Genesis 1 about? What's that chapter about? Creation. Isn't it interesting that God begins this book in the very same way he begins Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1? Do you think what God was talking about in the beginning in Genesis 1:1 might be the same in the beginning in John chapter 1 and verse 1? Or do you think God's trying to confuse you? Not trying to confuse you. In the beginning, he's talking about the same exact thing he was talking about in John chapter 1 in verse 1. He is talking about the time when time began. Do you know that time did not exist before Genesis 1:1? Did you know that? I'm not talking about your clock. I'm not talking about your watch. Do you know that time did not exist before Genesis 1:1? What is our time based upon? What celestial bodies is our, don't tell me Seiko or whatever. The sun. Does that have anything to do with our time? Did the sun exist before day 3? No. We have to get to day 4 before we even have a sun and moon and stars galore. We didn't have time. So creation is the point at which time begins. But here's what I want to ask you. Oh, I got to put this up there. Don't let me forget to tape this up here. So creation is our identity of the beginning that is identified for us here. But here's what I want to ask you. What is this talking about? What beginning is this talking about? And since we know it's creation, I want to ask you a question. Just think about this in your head. Don't answer out loud because some of you are really smart and you already know the answer. Where does Jesus fit? And I put these on poles on purpose because I want to ask you. Here's the creation over here. Here's Jesus over here. Does Jesus belong over here, meaning after the creation? Or would Jesus belong over here before the creation? Which side of creation do you think that maybe we should put Jesus on? And while you're thinking about that question, let's think about John chapter 1 and verse 1. If you look on your prophet card, there's a lot of questions about John chapter 1 and verse 1 on your prophet card. Why? This is a key location. And so there is a key location question. So if you look on the front where you have key locations, it asks the question, where is a verse in the Bible that teaches that Jesus is eternal? Where's a verse in the Bible that teaches that? John chapter 1 and verse 1 teaches that. There's also on there a key chapter. John chapter 1 is a key chapter. What's chapter 1 about? We just summarized it by talking about the eternal nature of Jesus. And you might think those are redundant, and they are a little bit, but what are we trying to impress upon us? That the Bible teaches that Jesus is eternal. So, here's what you have in John chapter. You've got this on your prophet card. In the beginning, Jesus was what? What does verse 1 say? In the beginning, Jesus was with God, and he was God. Now, here's what I want to ask you. What does that word was mean? It's in there three times. Was is past tense in our language, isn't it? You know, I was in high school at one point, and I'm so glad I'm not anymore. It's past tense. It says there's something that happened over there, but it doesn't matter anymore because you're not there anymore. It's past tense. There's different ways to talk about past tense here. What does the word was mean? And we need to understand that word, because that helps us to figure out, where does Jesus go? Does Jesus just come about after creation? Or was Jesus somewhere already in existence before creation? The word was, as you have it here, in John chapter 1, and I know this is a little bit intense for soldiers of Christ, but the word was is an imperfect Greek tense. What does that mean? The imperfect tense is a past tense, but it doesn't just mean a one-time thing. The imperfect tense in Greek means it was always this way. In the beginning was the Word. Was? What does the word was there mean? I want you to insert the word always in your mind before the word was. In the beginning always was the Word. The Word always was with God. The Word always was God. That's what, if you want to know what the word was means there, that's what it means. And so Jesus would say in John chapter 5 and verse 8, before Abraham was, you know the next two words? I am. That threw the Jews off. They hated that. Why? You're not old enough to be before Abraham. Was Jesus before Abraham? He just said it in John 5 and verse 8. Was Jesus before the creation? Jesus was before creation. Before Abraham was, before Adam was, before creation was, Jesus was. That is something we've got to get fixed in our heads, because some people want to convince you otherwise. Want to convince you that Jesus wasn't and isn't an eternal being. But what does the verse say? In the beginning, here's what I want to do. Caleb, I need your help, Caleb. And Rod, I need your help, buddy. I know you're trying to slide down. You can just do it. You don't have to come up. You can do it for me. But can you be loud? Hey, Mom, can Rod be loud? Okay, Mom says you can be loud. I trust Mom. All right, Mom, can Caleb be loud? Yeah. All right, he's got a preacher voice. All right, so, Caleb, here's what I need your help with, all right? Caleb, you're going to do the word was when we're going to read this verse together, but whenever we come to this verse, nobody else is going to say anything except for you, all right? And when we come to that word, every time we come to that word, I want you to say, in a good preacher loud voice, always was, not just was, always was. All right, Rod, you ready? You're going to do the blue words. You've got the word. But I want you to say not just the word, but I want you to help us to remember who is the word in this verse. Jesus. So I want you to say the word Jesus, the word Jesus, the word Jesus. Can you do that? What are you going to say? How are you going to say it loud enough for us to hear? I mean, you just got it. Some of these ladies up here, they're getting a little old, like Vivian. She can't hear like she used to could. So I need you to say it loud so that rattle Vivian's brain in her head, all right? I want you to say it really loud. And Caleb, be careful. Don't hurt anybody, all right, with how loud you're going to be, all right? All right, so the rest of us are going to say the verse except for the underlined words, and only these two guys are going to help us, all right? In the beginning, Jesus, and go ahead, Rod, with God, and Jesus, God. Do we get that? Jesus wasn't a created being, and that's what some people want you to believe. Is that Jesus was a created being, not the case. We're going to talk more about that in just a second. Not the case, a created being. He always, always, always was God. There was never a time when Jesus was not God. He was always, always, always with God. What does that mean? He's equal with God. In chapter 17 and verse 5, Jesus is praying to the Father, and he says, glorify me with the glory that I had with you from the beginning, from before the foundation of the earth. He was always with God, and he always was God. Never a time when Jesus did not possess the nature and the essence of God. And so, look over in chapter 5 and verse 18, real quick. Go over to chapter 5 and verse 18. What were the Jews so upset about? Tell me in chapter 5, verse 18, why were the Jews so upset? What was Jesus doing? He was making himself equal with God. Was he really making himself equal with God? Look in chapter 10 and verse 30. What did Jesus say in chapter 10 and verse 30? I and my Father are one. Jesus made himself equal with God because he was, always was, equal with God. That when we read about Jesus, we've got to get verse 1 impressed in our minds. Okay? Now, real quick. Christ's role in creation. What did Christ do in creation? He created all things. Is that what verse 3? Look in verse 3 of John chapter 1. Is that what verse 3 says? He created all things. So a key location on your prophet card, Jesus created all things. What verse teaches us that? I just told you. John chapter 1 and verse 3. If you get into a discussion with somebody about Jesus, the nature of Jesus, the role of Jesus, who Jesus was, John chapter 1 teaches us that Jesus created all things. What does that mean? Nothing was left out. Every single particle in creation was made by Jesus without exception. This expression, everything was made, all things were made, it's a different Greek past tense. I point that out for a particular reason. Jesus always, 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 always was God from past, present, and future. But creation happened at one time. That's the aorist tense in the Greek language. It happened at one time, not over and over and over creation like imperfect. It happened at one time, which shows you that John knew the difference between these tenses. But what does verse 3 say? All things were made through Jesus. I wish we had time to read this. I want you to see the word all. And if I had room, I would have put verse 18 on there. And guess what word it has in verse 18? Just guess. All. What part of creation was Jesus not in charge of? What part of creation was Jesus not having a hand in? No part. And that's why when verse 3 says, without him nothing was made that was made, literally means there's not even one single thing that was left out of that. I want you to think about that. Every single part of creation, Jesus had a part in it. So, what that means is that Jesus was the first thing created, right? No, you shake your head this way. Was Jesus the first thing created? No. There's a whole lot of reasons we know that's not the case. Because he always, 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 always was God. But how else do we know it? If he created how many things? Was there anything that he didn't create? No. So could he be a created thing? Uh-uh. You can't say he created all things except for himself. Then that's not all things. Jesus is not a created being. Jesus is God. Underscore that in your mind. Jesus is not a subset of God. Jesus is not an inferior God. It's not that you have God the Father, he's like the highest God, and then you have God the Son. He's kind of a mediocre God, but he's not quite God the Father. And then you got God the Holy Spirit, and he's really trying, but he's coming in third every day. No. They are all God, equally God. And so when When Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, who's that talking about? It's talking about God. Is that talking about Jesus? You got Jesus in the very first verse of the Bible. By the way, what's the theme of the whole Bible? Jesus Christ. You've got him in the first verse. He created everything. You've got Jesus all throughout your Bible. So here we go, real quick. Last thing I want you to see that we're looking at on the John 1 discussion tonight is down in verse 14. The Word, who is Jesus, became what? Flesh. And dwelt among us. That is one of our key locations. Where does it teach in the Bible that God became flesh? John chapter 1, verse 1, that's the Word, and verse 14, where he became flesh. And if we can tie those two verses together, we will see that it is God who came down to this earth and took on a human form. And so that's why John chapter 1 and verse 14 is one of our memory verses. You ought to memorize that verse. And we only have on the card the first part of the verse. We don't even have the full verse. If you want to memorize the whole verse, go for it. But we only have the first part of the verse. But here's what I want you to see real quick. I know we're running out of time. Real quick. The Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. Do you remember what we learned? Do you remember what we learned about the Greek tense of the word was? He always, 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 always was God. And then we have this verse in verse 14 that says, He became flesh. That's not an imperfect tense. It is an aorist tense denoting a specific point in time. So He always, 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 always was God. And then at a particular point in time, God became flesh. Was He God before that? Was Jesus God before that? Yes. Was Jesus God in the flesh? Yes. Was Jesus God after that? He's always God. Before, present, and after. He's always God. And so at the birth of Jesus, and that's what I meant to put on this, but at the birth of Jesus, what happens? At the birth of Jesus, God comes down and God inhabits a human body. We know that fact to be true, but I don't know about you, but that fact still boggles this brain. That God came down and inhabited a human body. And when He did that, He did not stop being God. Get that. He did not stop being God when He took on a human body. Let me throw all of this up here. What does the word Emmanuel mean? This is a later question. God with us. Does that still sound like God is in the human body? Yeah, one of the verses we had on the screen earlier was Colossians 2 and verse 9. Colossians 2 and verse 9 teaches that in Christ dwelt all, listen to this, in Christ dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. Was He still God? Very much still God on this earth. He came down and He dwelt among us. That's a cool word. It literally means that He tabernacled. He tented. He pitched His tent. Does that mean that Jesus came to stay on this earth? Nope. Just like you, He was here temporarily. What did Peter call His body? A tent? You're living in a tent. How's your tent doing? Is it getting old? Getting some holes in it? You got some leaks in your tent? You know you do. Our tents are wearing out. And you want to go to Walmart and you want to buy a new tent, but you can't. You can't get one of these tents at Walmart, can you? Nope, it's just going to keep wearing out. Jesus' body was tabernacled. It was tented here. And the Bible says that we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father. That brings us right back around to finish up tonight where we started. When they looked at Jesus, who did they see? They saw the Father. They saw the glory of the Father. When they looked at Jesus, they saw God. How could they do that? Because Jesus is God. These are some fundamental things, and I know fundamental for a lot of you that you've already heard all of this, but those are some truths that we've got to have bedded deep down in our hearts to know who Jesus is. We'll talk more next week about the birth of Jesus and how exciting that is. Thank you all very much for your good attention tonight.